Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. That war just got a bit hotter over the 4th of July holiday as a result of an intercontinental ballistic missile test, the first, by Kim Jong-un's regime in North Korea. A very ominous sign, and we will be discussing it with a number of our guests in the course of the program, starting with our first, the chairman and president of an indispensable organization, the Foundation for Resilient Societies. He is Tom Popeck, an MIT-trained engineer and Harvard MBA, formerly served in the United States Air Force, and most recently, on the 22nd of June, testified with a very timely message to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission about electric grid security. We want to talk with Tom about the implications of what the North Koreans are up to for the security of our grid and, for that matter, of our country. And I couldn't be more pleased to welcome him back. Tom, so good to have you. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Tom, I want to talk to you about this missile test, but it's not the only threat that we're facing. So I want to draw on your expertise to discuss other capabilities that the North Koreans have been bringing to bear of late that may well be even more ominous than the one that we're preoccupied with at the moment, namely this long-range missile. Talk, if you would, about both and get to the point that you were discussing with the FERC as a very serious concern, namely the vulnerability of our electric grid.
That's exactly right, Frank. We really need to start with the vulnerability of our critical infrastructure, especially the U.S. electric grid, because that makes so many other attack vectors feasible for nations such as North Korea. And those attack vectors include electromagnetic pulse attack by an intercontinental ballistic missile, but also cyber attack and physical attack. As a matter of fact, there could be combined attacks by these rogue nations. Really, it's the vulnerability of the grid. We have very long-distance electricity transmission in the United States. We're increasingly dependent on variable generation sources such as wind and solar that cannot be used for baseload power or to restore the grid. The dual fuel capability in electric generation plants is increasingly being taken out of the grid, and that reduces resiliency too to all these different attack vectors by rogue nations.
So to put it in layman's terms, the grid that essentially powers all aspects of modern life in 21st century America is at risk of design and deliberate attacks. For that matter, I guess not simply by nations, but by subnational actors as well, running the gamut from the most prosaic of physical sabotage and of course, cyber attacks, but also this this phenomenon of electromagnetic pulse, or EMP. And Tom Popeck, would you describe what we think we know about North Korea's pursuit of particularly that latter capability, the EMP threat?
Certainly. We know that North Korea has nuclear weapons. It's not a large stockpile, so we have to ask ourselves if North Korea were to attack another nation, including the United States, with nuclear weapons, what would be the most effective way to do it? With just a dozen or so nuclear weapons, they might be able to use blast and shock effects on one or more cities, but potentially a far more dangerous attack for the United States would be an electromagnetic pulse attack, take out the electric grid and then cause massive societal disruption. Think about all the critical infrastructure that depends on electricity. We'll start with water and sanitation, and then, of course, a lot of government services, such as police and fire protection, food distribution. That kind of attack, although it may not have the same immediate effect as a nuclear weapon going off in a major city, potentially the casualties from an electromagnetic pulse attack could be far greater.
Yeah, by some estimates, including that of the chairman of the Congressional EMP Threat Commission, a man you know well, as do I, Dr. William Graham, perhaps 9 out of 10 Americans would perish if there's a large scale blackout over much of the country. And the question, I guess, Tom Popick, is this. As an engineer, as someone who has devoted much of your life to analyzing these sorts of threats and helping the country contend with them, is it your view, Tom, that this missile that was tested on the 4th of July represents a significant new degree of danger to this country because it could be used in an EMP mode, or is the danger already very high as a result of other capabilities, perhaps including satellites that the North Koreans already have at hand?
Sure. There's been speculation that the North Koreans could put a small nuclear warhead on a satellite, and that satellite could then detonate the nuclear warhead over the United States, producing an EMP attack. There's also been speculation that the North Koreans could place a mobile missile on a ship-based platform and use that to overcome some of the range limitations of their missiles. I would say, though, probably the most certain launch capability is from the North Korean peninsula, and that's why this increasing range of their missiles really is becoming an ever more immediate threat. Were the North Koreans to use a ship-based attack, of course, there's the potential for our U.S. Navy to intercept that ship before it reaches the coast of the United States. And so I do think that this is really an important new development in the North Korean threat.
Tom, as I mentioned, you spoke before the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, the outfit that nominally at least has responsibility for assuring that our grid is secure and resilient. Tell us very quickly what you said to the commissioners and how they took your message.
Well, certainly. I talked about the threat of a long-term electric grid outage. And what is a long-term electric grid outage? Well, it's an outage that persists longer than the capacity for backup power in the electric grid and related infrastructure, especially telecommunications. And it's an outage that is over such a wide area that it's impractical for significant outside assistance to be provided. The United States has never experienced a long-term outage under that definition. We've had long outages of small geographic areas where there can be outside assistance. I think the outage in Louisiana during Hurricane Katrina would be an example of that. But there was still significant outside assistance, and in many cases, the restoration was accomplished in approximately 24 hours or less. So we really haven't experienced this, but were we to experience it, it really could be a catastrophic circumstance. And so I outlined that possibility during my testimony. I also talked about we can be more resilient to a long-term outage if we have dual fuel capability at generation plants. For example, we're getting much more natural gas generation. And at one point in time, over 95% of these plants also had an oil tank on site. So if there was an interruption in the natural gas flow, the generation could continue. But a lot of those oil tanks have been taken out for environmental and other reasons. And so that's taking the resiliency out of the system. And I do think that there was a good degree of interest from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission on some of the things that we had to say in regard to long-term outage.
This is a vulnerability that we can do something about. And Tom Popeck at the Foundation for Resilient Societies, nobody's doing more to that end than you. We are really grateful to you for your leadership. I hope you will keep up that good work, my friend, and you'll be welcome here anytime. And I hope you will come back to us again very soon.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.